you have your Bibles this morning, I'm just going to read a couple different verses of Scripture. You don't even have to turn there if you don't want to. But I'd like to start with Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture, then a fourth verse. But in the first three verses, I want you to be looking for three words. And I don't know that I've ever preached exactly like I'm going to this morning. I'm trusting God to use it. I don't know exactly how to organize it or how to get the point across, but I know this. He's got the point across in my heart. If I can get it across to you the way He's gotten it across to me, I believe it'll be a blessing. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 2, the Bible said, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18 said, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." And then in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, the Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Unless this morning you have your head completely in the sand, you know that we are living in a time of need. We need God's hand like we've never needed God's hand. We need God's help like we've never needed God's help in this generation. We need God's power. Nobody can be saved apart from the power of God. Nobody can get right apart from the power of God. The Bible said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." In the first three verses, the words that I'm keying in my heart are these: we have access. We have access. I want to pray this morning, and then I want to get right into the message. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. I pray this morning, Lord, that You would make it clear, our Father, to this pastor as he goes through. Lord, help me. Help my memory. God, there's so much to glean. Lord, I pray that You'd help me to say everything You want me to say. Leave off anything, our Lord, that would You would not want said this morning. Help me, God, to be a blessing to our people. And Lord, we'll give You glory. Save the lost, our Father. Help them to understand how bad they need to be saved. Help them to understand how awful that place called hell is. Help them to understand how wonderful that place called heaven is. Help them, Lord, to determine by the grace of God to leave a testimony that when they leave this world, they have a better place to go. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. I want to, this morning, try to illustrate something using the tabernacle. And this in no way is going to be an in-depth study on the tabernacle. It would take many messages to do that. But I want to illustrate a little bit, if I can, some things that went on in the tabernacle and help you to understand that we have access into the holiest of all. When God said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I made me a few notes because I don't trust my memory. Brother Danny Sykes said a while back in I'll never forget it. He said, a bad pencil is better than a good memory. And I thought, well, that's true in a lot of ways. Let's start with the tabernacle this morning. I'm going to drift back and forth here from one side of the auditorium to the other. I looked and understand that being around the church property now for going on 5 years, the east is that way. The sun comes up in the east. The tabernacle was 75 feet this way and 150 feet that way. And the tabernacle had a curtain, linen, all the way around it that was 7 feet off of the ground. Now, the reason I'm over here is because the gate to the tabernacle, let me just say this, not gates. There was only one gate. There was only one way that you could enter. And it was on the east side. And you see, what was going on in that day, and the Lord knew this, there was many sun worshipers. They were turning towards the sun. And God would have you to enter the tabernacle, turning your back on the way the world was worshiping. Are you listening to me this morning? If you're just going to go into the tabernacle, the gate was on the east side. And beloved, the gate was 30 feet wide. And that's where they brought the sacrifices. As you come into the gate, the first thing you're going to run into is the brazen altar. That's where they had to bring the sacrifices. Everybody that was going to be forgiven of their sin had to bring an animal. Blood had to be shed. The Word of God said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I wrote down the dimensions of that. It was, I think, 7.5 feet this way. So that would almost be like laying two pieces of plywood side by side. That's how big it was, the altar. And then it was 4.5 feet tall. In the middle, they would build up a big fire. When a person brought their sacrifice, they were to lay their hand on the head of the sacrifice, thereby symbolically transferring their guilt and their shame onto that animal that was going to give its life and die there in the tabernacle. Now, there was all kinds of people here coming and going. The gate's 30 feet wide. They're coming in and they're going out. They're in the courtyard. And by the way, beloved, let me say this without being offensive, I hope. I believe many of God's people are living their life in the courtyard. And they're never getting over there to the Holy of Holies. They're never getting in the presence of God. And beloved, listen, God don't want us just wandering around here in the courtyard. The Bible said 3 times in 3 verses, we have access into the presence of God. That's way over yonder. We're going, amen. Going to go over yonder. Now, the priests were the ones that were to offer the sacrifice for the people. And then when you come on past the brazen altar, there was the laver, and it was made of brass. The Bible doesn't tell us how big it was, but the priests were to wash their hands and to wash their feet. And this is typical of the Word of God. Listen to me carefully. Even though you and I have had our sins forgiven at Calvary, God knew that we were going to need to be cleansed along the way. Amen. And we would need the washing of water by the Word. And so there was the laver that you come to, the big, my friend, dish. There were no dimensions given. And they would wash their hands, their feet. And beloved, even though we're forgiven of our sin, we still need to be washed along the way. But we have access. Are you listening to me? We have access into the holiest of all, into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you come over to what they call the holy place. Now the holy place was separate from the courtyard. It was 45 feet this way and 15 feet this way. And beloved, when you went inside that first veil, into the holy place. On your left, you would find the golden candlestick. One stuck up in the middle higher than the other six. That was typical of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And then the others, where the other six would be typical of the believer, the one that was walking with God, the one that wanted to be a light in this dark world that we live in. If you turn to your right, there was a golden table. And on that golden table was the showbread. And beloved, the priests, they would make that bread new. Every Sabbath day, they would carry new bread into the Holy of Holies. And they would, into the holy place. They would carry it in there, they'd put it on there, and then they were required to eat the bread. It could not leave the Holy of Holies. They were required to consume it. And beloved, of course, that's typical of Jesus, the bread of life, the one that said, I am the bread of life. Amen. And listen, then you would go forward in the holy place and you would run into the golden altar. And that altar was before the veil that went into the Holy of Holies. And beloved, when we see that golden altar, I think I have a size here for it. Let me see if I can find it here. I wanted to tell you as much as I could about it. And on the right, and in the center of the golden altar, no, I don't have the size, but I believe I remember it. I believe it's 3 foot by 2 foot by 18 inches. I'm almost positive that my memory's correct on that. 3 foot this way, 2 foot this way, and 18 inches tall. And there the incense were to be burned every morning and every evening. And it was to never go out. They would burn all day. They would burn all night. This was a savor that came up to the Lord. This is typical of our prayers and our intercessions. And the priest in that day would make intercession. Now listen, I'm going somewhere this morning. You help me this morning. Stay with me just a minute. I believe God will bless your heart. Beloved, that's a pretty long journey from over yonder to over here. I'm going to read you something in just a moment. And then you had that veil. Beloved, listen, that veil that was, beloved, listen, into the holiest of all, into the Holy of Holies. And listen, I learned this morning as I looked again. Listen, this area back here, the whole thing is 15 feet by 45 feet. But the Holy of Holies is 15 foot that way, 15 foot this way, and 15 feet that way. Does that ring a bell for anybody? Glory to God, I'm headed to a city that's 1,500 miles that way, 1,500 miles that way, and 1,500 miles that way. I ain't never got a hold of that before. But that's where I'm going when I leave this old world. Amen. And beloved, we have access. Only the high priest could go in. Only he could go in once a year. And when you get in there, beloved, then you have the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, you'll find the pot of golden manna. At the golden pot of manna, you find Aaron's rod. You find the tablets in the Ark of the Covenant. You find the cherubims, my friend, looking over the mercy seat. Oh, hallelujah, for a God that has mercy on sinners like you and like me. Beloved, I didn't understand all this, but really God was reminding them. They were dissatisfied with the manna, and God made them put that pot of manna there in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the holy place. Beloved, they were in contentious about who was going to be the priest, wherever the priestly line was going to come from. So they put their 12 rods down there. And God let Aaron's rod bud. Are you listening to me? God said, listen, boys, it's not your choice. It's my choice. I'm going to choose who the high priest is coming from. And the order, beloved, that the high priest will come. And then the tablets, they were always, my friend, disobeying God of the children of Israel. And God put some reminders there for them. But I'll tell you something else that God reminds me of. Listen to me this morning. They disrespected God's provision. But Jesus, glory to God, He is God's provision for you and for me. They disrespected God's authority. But when Jesus was walking the face of this earth, He was always saying, not as I will, but thy will be done. He respected his Father's authority. And then, beloved, listen, they were forever breaking the commandments. But aren't you glad for a Savior that kept the commandments, that walked, beloved, listen, without sin, tempted like you and I are, yet without sin. Now listen, Maybe I didn't get everything, but I just took you on a little journey to the tabernacle, over there to the holiest of all. I want to read you something. This is where this was sparked in my heart and in my mind. Meant to read this Wednesday night just to be reading it. But God had another plan. This is a little book exploring here and there by John Phillips. You ought to read after John Phillips. It'd be a blessing. Be a blessing to you. Let me read this here. In 1500 years, the veil had hung between the holy place and the holy of holies in the tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem. It served one purpose: to keep people out of the presence of God. If they went in there and they weren't qualified, they died. They died. It was to keep them out. It was death to go beyond the veil. Indeed, it was death for anyone who was not born into the family of Aaron to go anywhere near the veil. But I like what he said right here. Calvary changed all that. Glory to God, I'm going somewhere this morning. We have access, the Word of God said. Now let's go. He said, let's look at the full impact of the picture. He said, we're going to have a conversation between the keeper of the gate. That's way over here now. That's how you get into the tabernacle. The 30-foot gate on the east side. We're going to have a conversation between the keeper of the gate and a Moabite. Are you ready? Let's listen to this conversation this morning. I thought it was good. The keeper said, who are you? The Moabite said, I'm a man of Moab. I've heard about your God, and I should like to go in there and worship him. And the keeper said, you can't do that. The law of our God bans a Moabite from the worship of God until the 10th generation. The keeper said, the Moabite said, well, what would I have to do to escape the curse of the law of your God? The keeper said, you would have to be born again. You would have to be born an Israelite, to be born of one of the tribes of Dan, shall we say, or Ephraim or Judah. The Moabite said, I wish I'd been born an Israelite of the tribe of Judah. I would go in there and help those people who are serving the altar. I could help them carry out the ashes, perhaps help them more in the tabernacle when you people march on from place to place, help them to move the tabernacle. The keeper said, oh no, you couldn't do that. You'd need to be born a Levite, for only the people of the tribe of Levi can touch those things. The Moabite said, I wish I'd been born an Israelite of the tribe of Levi. What I would really like to do is help those robed priests with their work, with the sacrifices of the altar. I could lift those heavy animals onto the altar, perhaps. The keeper said, no, you could not do that. You would have to be born not only the tribe of Levi, but also the family of Aaron. Only Aaron's sons can be priests. The Moabite said, I wish I'd been born an Israelite of the tribe of Levi, of the priestly family of Aaron. I should like to go in there, into the covered shrine yonder. I see priests going in and out three times, in and out of there at times. He said, tell me, what is it like in there? The keeper said, it's very beautiful in there. All gleaming gold, rich color, costly linen. There's a golden table in there, a golden lampstand, and a golden altar. And there's a veil, thick, costly, and beautiful. And behind the veil is what we call the Holy of Holies. It contains the Ark of the Covenant with its mercy seat. You can see the cloudy pillar which overshadows the camp of Israel. You can see how it rests upon the tabernacle. God dwells in that cloud. It not only overshadows God's people, it actually sits upon the mercy seat, upon the ark. The Moabite said, oh, that I had been born of the priest of the family of Aaron. I would love to go beyond the veil and worship your God in that holy, holy place. The keeper said, oh, no, you couldn't do that. Only the high priest can go in there. You would need to be born of the house of Eliezer, of the family of Aaron, of the tribe of Levi, of the nation of Israel, before ever you could think about going in there. God's high priest come from the house of Eliezer. The Moabite said, I wish I'd been born an Israelite, of the tribe of Levi, of the family of Aaron, of the house of Eliezer. I would go in there again and again. I would go in there three times a day. I would stay long hours in there,
worship as your God. The keeper said, oh no, even the high priest can only go in there once a year on the Day of Atonement. And even then, only after making the most elaborate ritual precautions. Moreover, he cannot tarry in there. He must present the blood of the sacrifice before the mercy seat and then hurry out again. You see, Mr. Moabite, you have no hope whatsoever of entering into within the veil. I tell you, I read that and that stirred my heart. I'm talking about a man that would give anything to get from the gate to the holiest of all. And Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross. The veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. And he said, we have access. We can go right into that holy place, into the presence of an almighty God. And you know what we're done? Fooling around in the courtyard. That's exactly what we're doing. Think if we come to church once in a while, we're doing good. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can come to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and still just be fooling around in the courtyard. God wants us to get in that holy place. Listen, not without blood. He shed his blood. Not without the book. Come on, help me. The water, amen. We need the book. And beloved, I'll tell you something right now. The Bible said you go into that holy place, there's that candlestick. The Bible said among whom you shine as lights. We're supposed to be lights in this dark world that we live in. We're supposed to be partaking of the bread of life. He is our provision. Our prayers and our alms, our memorials, our intercession is supposed to be coming up to God as a sweet savor. And beloved, listen. God said to that Moabite in the book here, well, you just have to go in and rush right out. We're doing enough rushing in enough places. We need to go in there and stay a while. I'm convinced that's going to be the secret to revival. It ain't going to be some good preacher. It ain't going to be some good message. It's going to be a bunch of God's people saying, we're tired of the courtyard. We're going in the holy place. Lord, I'm going to go there. I'm going to tell you why we're not comfortable in there. How many help me? Help me, help me right here. Because I tell you what happens when you get in there, we get exposed. Help me this morning, say amen. When you get in there, honey, in his presence. And I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to ask God like David did to expose us. Search me, oh God, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. I believe with all of my heart this morning. Oh, listen. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a Moabite. No, you're a Gentile. You're just as bad off as a Moabite. You was as without hope, just like the Moabite until Jesus come along and died on that old rugged cross. Without hope. But aren't you glad this morning for three words? We have access. You got lost people? Listen to me this morning. I'm not fussing. I'm not fussing at all. And certainly, church is not the only time to pray. If church is the only time you pray, you ain't praying much. But I'm telling you, church is a good place to pray. Jesus said, "It's you made my Father's house a den of thieves." He said, it's a house of prayer. You know what we ought to do if we got lost people? I want to remember three words. We have access. You have a need this morning. Something going on in your body physically. Something going on in your family. Is there a need this morning? I got good news. We have access. Something going on with your children. I got good news. We have access. This morning, There may be somebody here and you've drifted so far away from God and you're so cold. You're so indifferent. But I got good news. We have access. You haven't lived for God very long until you've gotten a little cold. Somebody help me. Maybe a lot cold. Maybe a little indifferent. Maybe a lot indifferent. But I tell you what to warm your heart. That's the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. Now what if, let me help you to get there this morning and I'm done. What if we're trying to get over yonder, on our way over yonder, what if we knelt down, Brother Thurman said, thank you, Lord, that I come in the gate, table one. I come the way you said to come. I was born again. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed at Calvary's cross. Thank you, God, you didn't leave us without a book. You left us a Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the holy place. Thank you for the light. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the privilege to pray. What about if we just said, thank you, Lord, for that day? You rent the veil in twain from top to bottom. There's a reason for that. Let me just say this. If you read about the thickness of that veil, no man could have ever torn that veil. You couldn't have done it. But God's all powerful. God had the power, and God let us know that it was Him that was tearing it, because it was torn from top to bottom. And we have access into the holiest of all. You know something this morning? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you got in His presence and ask Him to help your pastor? When's the last time you got in His presence and ask Him to help your Sunday school teacher? When's the last time you got in His presence and ask Him to help our deacons? Oh, you say, preacher, they don't need no help. Tell them, Brother Houston, we all need His help. When's the last time you got in His presence and tears ran down your cheeks for some sinner that's lost without God? When's the last time we got in His presence? Oh, wouldn't it be great, Brother Ralph, if revival break out over there, Pilgrim? When's the last time we got in His presence and said, oh God, it don't matter if it's Bible Way. It don't matter if it's Good Shepherd. It don't matter if it's Pilgrim. Just wherever, come down among your people one more time. When's the last time you got in His presence and said, God, our missionaries need your help? Some of them are living among diseases and pestilence, raising their children in a place that doesn't have near what we have as far as medicine goes. When's the last time you got in His presence and asked God to help those missionaries? When's the last time you got in His presence? Ask God to help Sister Danita. It's that time of year when she's starting on the Christmas play. Brother Ralph was saved at a Christmas play. I'll tell you what, if we get in His presence between now and Christmas and ask God to help Sister Danita and bless that play, we might see revival break out at Christmas time. Help me this morning. You know what? If we're not careful, we're content just to wander around the courtyard. Preston, He's got something for you and I. Back there behind that veil. It's something special. We wander around the courtyard. Wander around the courtyard. I've got a lot more I could say this morning, but I believe I've said what God wants me to say. We have access. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know something this morning? You're invited. You say, preacher, I'm not saved. You're invited. He said, preacher, I'm not right with God. You're still invited. You'll have to get right. But you'll have to get in His presence to get right. You're invited. Jesus said, come and dine. Beloved, He wants to help His people. But I believe we'll never be all that God wants us to be. Amen, Sister Rachel. We'll never be all that God wants us to be, wandering around in the courtyard. We need to get in that holy place. Get in that holiest of all. The Bible said the throne of grace. You know what that's signifying? That's where God is. God was dwelling in this holy of holies in the tabernacle. That's changed now. Thank God I didn't have to hunt me a lamb this morning or a turtle dove this morning. Thank God there's not a bloodbath going on here at Bible Way this morning. Us putting our hand. You know why? Because there was a day in my life when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar. It wasn't where I put my hand, it's where I put my heart. I put my heart with Jesus. My sin was cast over on Him. His righteousness was cast over on me. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't beat that. I don't care where you go. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. We have access. Question, what are we doing with it? We have access. Brother Lance, I know you'd like to see real, genuine Holy Ghost revival among the teenagers. I know your heart. It ain't going to happen wandering around the courtyard. We might have to give God some of our sleep. Help me this morning. Somebody said one time, I pray God take sleep away from that old sinner. Why don't we pray God take some away from us? We're too relaxed wandering around the courtyard while people are dying without God and going to hell. I'm so glad I'm saved. But I'm so ashamed in 30 years, Brother Brian, that I ain't spent more time in there than what I have. I believe when we talk about them old timers, how many help me right there? I believe if you was to look up something, I read this somewhere, said this, every great move of God can be traced back to a kneeling figure. Somebody got on their knees. Somebody got in the holy place. Somebody got in God's presence. God's in the house. You're invited this morning. If you need to be saved, Jesus is saying, come unto me. If you're here this morning, there's a distance between you and God. Guess who moved? He didn't move. He's inviting you to come. If you're here this morning and your prayer life is just so lax and you're failing God, He's saying, come. Let me warm your heart. What do you need? What do you need? I'll tell you one thing we need. We need Him. We need His presence. We need His power. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you this morning, Lord, for just the privilege to stand for a few minutes. God, share from the Word of God. The writer in Hebrews said that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man will do unto me. God, we need revival in our land. We need revival in our church, Lord. Lord, I believe with all of my heart, so many of us are wandering around in the courtyard when we've been invited into your presence. Stir hearts this morning, our Father. Help us, Lord, to be submissive in this invitation. God, take us and make us and mold us. Teach us, our Father, thy way. Lord, over and over and over again, when you were ministering in this world, we can read in the Bible where you went apart in a mountain alone to pray. Help us this morning, God. Save the lost. Strengthen your people.